Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1662, Ask Farnoosh.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Hey, welcome to So Money, everybody. April 26th, 2024. If you've been listening to the show this week, if you've been following me online, you know the exciting news. So Money has won a Webby Award. This is basically the Oscars for the internet, and I could not be more excited, proud, verklempt. This Webby is honoring specifically an episode that we did last summer that was held live in front of an audience at the Midnight Theater in Manhattan. Our special guest was Michelle Buteau. If you recall, she is a fabulous actress, comedian, producer, author. She's the star and creator of the Netflix show Survival of the Thickest. And it was an incredible interview behind the scenes, also quite the drama. If you were there that night, you may have heard me talk about it. It's not something I can really talk about publicly. I might get in trouble, but let's just say the show almost didn't happen and Michelle saved the night in some ways. And it was a terrifying moment for a while. It was a healthy state of panic, as I say, behind the scenes, where hours before the show, hours before curtain, we learned that there was a big problem, big problem. And the show may not have been possible, but we did it. And not only did we do it, we went on to win the Webby for the most excellent live recording of any podcast in 2024. There were 13,000 submissions overall for the Webbies. And so what does this mean? It means that first, a thank you is in order to you, the audience. You know, this Webby is whatever. We're in year 9 of So Money. Next year, we're going to be celebrating the 10th anniversary, which, by the way, I need your help with. I'm trying to think of a special way to commemorate the decade and the 10 years of doing this show and the evolution of the show. Part of me would love to just throw a big giant party on a boat or come to every single major city and do a toast with listeners. I don't know if that's going to be physically or financially possible, but let's dream big. Let's think big. Let's get some sponsors involved so everyone can come and enjoy for free. But back to this Webby. This is the cool part. May 13th, I get to walk the red carpet and I'm going to bring Michelle as my plus one and we're going to celebrate the best of the internet and get our award, go on stage. I hear Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to be there because she's being awarded for having the number one podcast of the year. And by the way, I have been listening to Wiser Than Me. It's excellent. So far, I've listened to Sally Field, Beverly Johnson, and Fran Lebowitz. It's a incredible podcast where Julia Louis-Dreyfus interviews women who are older than her for these intimate, hilarious conversations with these iconic women. And I am thoroughly enjoying every single episode so far. So get to hopefully take a selfie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I doubt the selfie will happen, but I will definitely be stalking her in the bathroom. And follow me because there's going to be lots more play-by-play coming your way. It's Friday, which means there are just a few days left to register for my investing workshop that's happening this Monday, Savvy Investing Simplified. This is where you get me for over an hour to walk you through the important aspects of investing, the only things you need to know so that you can create a diversified, fear-adjusted portfolio. And I'm going to also show you how I invest. This is a workshop that I held live in January, and we more than sold out. So back by popular demand, doing it again on Monday. It will be recorded. So if you're like, oh, I'm traveling on Monday, or I can't make it live for whatever reason, as long as you register, you'll get the recording and you can still get all the learning, but you have to register. Please visit So Money Workshop, one word, somoneyworkshop.com to sign up. If you have any questions about the workshop, you can reach me on Instagram. Just direct message me there. It's literally the fastest way to get in touch. You can email me, of course. But Instagram is where I hang out these days. Funny story, I posted on Instagram, you know, there's this real trend going on where you pretend to ask the sharks on Shark Tank for some money. Anyway, I thought it'd be cute / thought provoking to say, hello, sharks. Today, I'm asking for $1.8 trillion for our country's uncompensated full-time caregivers, also known as stay-at-home parents. That's about $200,000 per person. And that is the average value that they provide to their households, which then, of course, feeds into the economy. Also, I need this on an annual basis. Thank you. It was a joke, but not really, and more just pointing to the value, the economic value of stay-at-home parents. Now, for me to take this stance is a bit unusual. I'm the breadwinner in my family. I advocate for women to earn their own money, whether you have kids or don't have kids, or you're caring for someone or you're not. I think it's important for women to have financial independence. But I'm also a realist. I know that that can't be everybody's journey. I thought it would be great for me to be the person to sort of bring attention to this. You know, I'm not maybe the person you'd expect to bring attention to this and to bring appreciation to this. Anyway, just sharing this because while most people cheered on this reel because they got it, they understood this wasn't a TED talk. They understood this wasn't me drafting a bill for law, that I was merely trying to highlight the economic value of stay-at-home parents, not because having children and taking care of your children is necessarily a job, but because the support that households get at home is undeniably tied to our country's GDP and the ability for the other partner, if there is another partner in the household, to go out there and work. And oh boy, there were some unhappy people with my request for this money and really just for my spotlighting of women largely who are the caregivers. A lot of angry, you guessed it, men who didn't understand why I was like suggesting that people who choose to have children, their words, not mine, should be compensated, that you're crazy, that's too much money, your choice to have children is your choice. It's like, relax, everybody. Can we just relax? And actually, you know, the fact that there is this particular strain of disdain for what I just said from a particular group of people says everything about why talking about this is important. It's fascinating, the comments on the internet, isn't it? Also this week, I got an interesting DM from a pediatrician who took issue with one of our episodes this week. On Monday, I aired an episode with Emma Johnson, who's the author of The 50-50 Solution, in which she advocates for equal time sharing in a divorce when it comes to taking care of the children. She has research that points to lots of research that points to that this is the best outcome for families where the adults no longer live together. Whereas currently the default is for moms to become the primary caregivers in divorce And she goes into why that sentiment exists. And obviously acknowledging that this is a unique decision, an individual decision. She's not saying every family needs to do this. Of course, in some families, this is not possible. It's not safe. We get that. But 50-50 custody is the proven method, she says, for happier kids, more involved dads, and less stressed out moms after divorce. Well, after this aired, this woman DM'd me and was like, your episode was fraught. She said it was based on this perception that men and women are equal at caregiving. She didn't even go so far as that. She just said, you assume men and women are equal. And so this whole debate, this whole conversation was so dangerous, was so fraught. And then she signed her name and her title is a pediatrician. So this is the stuff that I am on the receiving end of. Not all the time. I'm happy to report that most of what I receive is thank yous, acknowledgements, support, saying how relatable the content is, how needed all the content is. But even when I get this sort of feedback, it just reinforces my work. It just reinforces the importance of the messaging around financial equality. Because here's the thing about the 50-50 solution. As Emma articulated on the podcast, if you believe in feminism, if you believe in financial feminism, then you have to get behind this 50-50 paradigm. Because when women are at the forefront of caregiving as single mothers, you can only guess what happens to their financial stability, their mental health, their access to resources. I know it's controversial, emotionally controversial, but I encourage you to listen to that episode. And yeah, you might take issue with it, but hopefully it's not over this issue of that we believe men and women are equal. Questions today from the mailbag. We've got questions about being buried in credit card debt and how to get out of that. Somebody wants to quit her job, but she's the breadwinner and she's nervous about doing that. Even though she has saved a little bit of money, she's worried about being dependent on her partner. She's worried about re-entering the job market. I get it. And then should I take an early retirement offer, Farnoosh, when I want to continue making money? The job market is just okay. Yeah, it is. It's a really weird time to be looking for work, depending, of course, on your profession and how far along you are in your profession. But, you know, we've talked about on this podcast, this idea of a quiet recession. Employers are taking their dandy old time giving out offer letters, aren't they? All right. First up in the mailbag, Jude writes in concerned about their level of credit card debt. Jude says, firstly, I'm so happy I discovered your podcast, Farnoosh. Thank you. Here's my situation. I'm single. I have no children. I have to pay for rent and I'm in major credit card debt. The interest rate on my credit cards is 30%. My credit score is 654. I'm so ashamed and upset. This debt happened so quickly. I make $98,000 a year and I only spend on my necessities. The interest rate is killing me and it's making it impossible to get out of debt. Please advise on how to get out of this suffocating debt. Should I be consolidating? And if so, who do I trust? Can I get loans with no property and bad credit scores? Can I declare bankruptcy? Thank you so much for your help. I trust you. All right, Jude, I appreciate this question. Thank you for saying you trust me. I have a bunch of tips for you. Are you ready? You want to grab the transcript probably to this episode. But first, just, you know, I'm going to tell you this, right? I'm going to tell you to drop the shame because debt happens. Just ask the millions of people in this country that have it, whether it's because they are paying back healthcare costs or they're just trying to make ends meet. The good news is you make close to $100,000 a year, which I know doesn't really go that far compared to, say, even just 5 years ago, but you are single, you don't have dependents. And as far as I can hear, you're not locked into any fixed costs every month, save for those minimums on your credit card. You know, you've got rent, which you've got to honor, but there are probably a lot of adjustments you can make to your lifestyle, to your expenses every month to shore up some cash. And I'm getting to that in a minute, but I just want to start with the good news, which is that you don't have to feel guilty or shameful and you have a job which pays arguably well. I don't know how much debt you're in. You did not include that detail. So I'm guessing it's quite a bit, but no matter how much debt you're in, you don't have to feel like you have to go alone on this journey. You can work with a professional. It won't cost you a lot. It might not even cost you anything. There are organizations, not-for-profits that love to work with people like you to help them get out of debt slowly, correctly, Anyone who promises that they're going to help you wipe out your debt in a month or a year, I would not trust them. Again, don't know the amount of your debt, but based on the tone of your voice in your question, the way I'm reading it, you are probably five, maybe six figures in debt. So that's going to take time, right? And people that I think you can trust are folks who work for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling or Money Management International. These are two not-for-profit organizations. They employ certified credit counselors. The first meeting is free. They will examine your situation and suggest a plan. Often they have what's called a debt management plan. It's a nominal monthly fee, but if you're in dire straits, it could be completely free. They could waive it. They will help you and be advocates for you. They'll help you get on a plan. They'll work with your creditors to try to lower those interest rates. You have a job, you have an important job that's making important money. You may not have the hours per week it could take to go back and forth with your creditors. So they will do that for you potentially. It may be tricky because of where your credit score is, but honestly, your credit score is not terrible. My guess is that it's where it's at, below 700, because your debt to credit ratio, your credit utilization, you have a lot of debt, is high, and that's dragging down your score. But once you start making bigger dents in your credit card bills, you will see that score grow, assuming you're paying on time and you're not taking on more debt. Everyone I've interviewed on this podcast who's gotten through six figures worth of debt somehow, they always say it takes time, but it also takes significant changes to your lifestyle, to your spending, to bring in that money each month to put towards your credit card debt. So is there a way that you can make those adjustments? And maybe they won't be overnight, but you can start planning towards those adjustments, and only you're going to know what's feasible. I can offer some ideas like renting a different apartment, moving to somewhere more affordable, moving back in with family, taking on more work. And you know, this is how I did it in my 20s. I didn't have six figures worth of debt, but I had $30,000 worth of debt. And my cure for that was to bring in multiple revenue streams in addition to my full-time job. I, like you, was independent. I was single. I didn't have anyone to take care of. And so I side hustled it. I brought in money through babysitting and pet sitting and freelance writing. And I brought collectively about $500 to $1,000 extra dollars a month and helped to knock down that debt. Have you tried calling your credit card companies and just seeing what they can do for you? Put you on a better payment plan, reduce the interest rate? You're assuming a lot because you're overwhelmed. There's guilt there, there's shame here, and you're not happy with your credit score. So you're making a lot of assumptions about what is not possible, but you never know, right? You have to be an advocate and make these phone calls. And if you don't want to make these phone calls, then you can work with potentially a credit counselor through one of those organizations. I'll repeat them: National Foundation for Credit Counseling, Money Management International. There are, of course, personal loans out there too. That might be a recommendation from one of the credit counselors, is to consolidate this debt onto a personal loan. It may be hard to qualify, but you're telling me the interest rates on your credit cards is 30%. I'm going to bet money that you could probably find a personal loan that would consolidate all of this credit card debt, and the interest rate would still be high, but not more than 30%. So you would be saving that way. But call your credit card companies and just ask if there's a way for them to knock down 5, 10%. Because 30%, I just looked it up. Like, is that even legal? Sadly, it is, but I got to believe there are better options out there for you that might not be 5% or 10%. We're in a high interest rate environment. I would go to a site like NerdWallet or Bankrate.com and see what kind of credit card offers are available to you, what kind of personal loan offers might be available to you based on your credit, to see if it makes sense to transfer some of this debt onto a lower cost, lower interest rate loan or credit card. In fact, if you go to bankrate.com and you click on credit cards, you'll see a dashboard and there's a little button that says bad credit, which again, I don't think you have terrible credit, but whatever, it's not pristine. You go there and they can show you, and they have options here where you can apply, and just be careful applying for too much credit because that can also bring down your credit score. So just pick up the phone and call these banks and say, hey, I know I haven't qualified yet. I haven't applied yet, but generally, what is the going rate for someone like me? See if they can just tell you without needing to apply. And let me know how it goes. I want to continue helping you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So, finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/sewmoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/sewmoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/sewmoney. This question comes from Claudia on Instagram, and she says, I'm stuck. I hear this word a lot, by the way. I'm stuck in a dead end, but high paying job. After 13 years, I'm burnt out and I'm ready to leave. I'd like a 6-month break for my own sanity instead of jumping straight into a new job. My husband has a good paying job, but it can only cover about 70% of our monthly expenses. Plus, I'm terrified of being financially dependent on someone for more than a few months. I have an emergency fund, which would allow me about 5 to 6 months of freedom to find an opportunity. Is that a terrible idea? Would you recommend it or not? Oh, and I just turned 40, so there's that. So re-entering the workforce after this pause at a comparable salary is what's concerning me. Help. All right, here's my answer. And it might be a little all over the place, but I just want to say I so relate to this. And I know a lot of women who have been going for their entire adult lives. They hit a point, right? Especially like maybe, I don't know if she's a parent here, but even if not, I mean, just that speed, that fortitude of work, She's the breadwinner in her relationship, and she's burnt out and or no longer interested in this particular career or job that she has. That's fair. You're allowed to feel this way. And it's very, very common. First, I just want to point out that what I'm hearing from you is that you are a bit burnt out, and it could be the conditions of the job. Before we throw the baby out with the bathwater, before we quit 100%, is there something in the middle? Is there a way to go back to your employer, your boss, your manager, and just be honest? If you've already gotten to the point where you're ready to leave, then you're probably at a point where you can have a fearless conversation with your employer about the reality of your work and the pressures it's putting on you. Is there a way to cut back to 20 hours a week, to take a sabbatical even, without completely leaving this job, this company? You know, a lot of times we don't like the job, but the company we like, and maybe there's somewhere else to move to within the company, a different role, a different team, a different building, an ability to work from home because maybe the conditions of going into the workplace is what's adding stress. So before leaving completely, I would just encourage these first few steps to see if there's a way to continue to bring money in, because that's not a little thing, while also addressing your mental health, addressing your stress. You may go back to the job full time, you may not, but in the meantime, you're giving yourself space. We did an entire episode on burnout a couple of years ago. It was right as we were emerging from the pandemic with Kate Donovan. She's the host of Fried, the Burnout Podcast. We talked about this issue that people have, this fear that I'm hearing from our friend about leaving work. There's a fear there, right? Of what happens once I leave financially, how do I get back into the workforce? But then there's also this other fear of, I don't like my job, and if I continue at this pace, other scary things might happen that have to do with my health, my sanity, and my quality of work could slip. Maybe I'll get fired, which is not what I want either. So we have to hold these two fears in balance. And Kate, who has studied this and is an expert on stress and trauma, her advice is this. It's to try to find a little bit of a happy medium before you completely cut off from the job. Now, completely understanding that some people have reached the point where there is no other place to go but to head for the exit sign. That is understood. Some people are there and you have to do that. But if you have the capacity to stay or to at least have a conversation with your employer about what's going on, to see what they are willing to offer, because I assume if you've been at this job for a while, you're valued, they don't want to lose you, at least not within the next 2 weeks. So you're both incentivized to find a way to work together that isn't going to continue to erode a chip away at your mental health. I like that you have seen how much your savings can stretch you. That's important. Anyone considering this move, it's important to look at your numbers, to get real, as difficult as it may be. In this job market, especially for people who are mid-level to higher up in their careers, it's difficult to find a job. And I think that it's in most industries right now. It's not just tech. Obviously, if you work in healthcare relative to tech, you will probably find a job quicker in healthcare than in tech. But sometimes it's geographic based and role based. But in general, what I'm hearing anecdotally from the audience, as well as what the data has been presenting, is that people who are mid to senior level who get laid off or quit are needing time to get back in the workforce. And that's not because they're hanging out, just lounging. They're applying, they're networking, they're doing all the things, but employers are taking their time to hire. So having 5 to 6 months, which is what Claudia has saved, is great. But is it enough? I don't know her industry well enough to say yes or no. I think it's going to be around 6 months, if I had to guess, as to when she would be able to find another full-time job, assuming she's actively pursuing the hunt for a full-time job. This fear of being dependent on somebody else, I think, is natural. And I feel it sometimes. I express it sometimes. We're not really being fair to ourselves. You have earned this. If you decide to do this, you have earned this decision. You have worked hard. You are entitled to this. You've earned this. You have created a safe exit plan for yourself. And As long as you stay in communication with your partner, as long as you are honest and real about your expenses and your capacity to spend so that you can make the most of this time off financially, I wouldn't be worried. But start with having a conversation with your employer, see what's possible. If, you know, 13 years, you're burnt out, I get it, you're ready to leave. But the good news is you've laid a lot of the healthy groundwork to be able to do this and to give yourself runway and peace of mind. You know, when you're the breadwinner in your relationship, it's awesome, but it shouldn't be expected or assumed that you're going to be in this role forever and ever. Relationships evolve. Life happens. The most important mindset to have is a flexible one. I'm kind of in the same boat where I've been making more than my husband for the entirety of our relationship. And I want to take some time for myself over these next few months. I don't want to work and hustle as hard as I have for the last 20 years. I'm burnt out too a little bit. And it's not like I'm going to completely stop working. I'll probably continue to make more than him. But relative to my own earnings pace, I'm choosing to not chase after the money so much right now because scaling my revenue is not as important as scaling my health, my time, and my relationships. My kids are getting bigger. They need me more. That's unshakable. I can't change that. Thankfully, because I've strategized, I've worked, I've almost foreseen this. Like I had to have known, right, that I couldn't just be this Energizer bunny forever. And who knows, next year I might go back to like running the sprints again. But right now I'm paying really close attention to what my mind needs, my body needs, my children need. And we need to give ourselves permission to do that. So I'm giving you permission, Claudia. I hope you'll take it. Thank you for writing in. I think you are representing a lot of people right now with this question, and I appreciate you. Good luck. And finally, another meaty question from the mailbag. A friend in the audience wants to potentially take a package, an early retirement package from work, but it's not like they can just stop earning. They need to continue making money. And the job market is just okay, as we've covered. So what to do? Well, my friend, what's the offer? I want to know. I want the details. And how long will this offer stretch? Can this offer replace an entire year's worth of income plus benefits? If you're done, if you've tapped out of this company, this job, this role, and you're maybe close to retirement, but not quite there yet. That's enticing. That can be very enticing. And a year is a long time to get a lot done for your next step, towards your next step. It could mean going back to get certified, learning a new skill, even just going out there and networking again with people you haven't networked with in a long time and applying for different jobs. Before you do this, of course, it's important to get a financial assessment of where you're at now and what your retirement currently looks like. Have you saved enough, invested enough for retirement, or are you on the right track? You know, you could work with a financial planner and pay for one or two sessions to get to the bottom of things. I know that financial planners typically work with people in a AUM capacity. They take a percentage of your assets under management, 1%, 1.25%. For the duration of working together every year. But that's not realistic for a lot of people like you, who you just want answers to a very specific problem. You're at this crossroad. You need some financial assessments, and you could really benefit from somebody with expertise and who can guide you to your decision ultimately. And for that, you would want to pay, because this is really valuable information. You're not going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars, but maybe a retainer for a couple of months or a one-time fee for an assessment. I will say, on your own, there's a lot you can do. You can go online to various online retirement calculators and just get a sense of how retirement ready you are. And you're the best judge of this. How likely is it that you can get back into your industry after taking some time off quickly or at the same salary? If you wanted to pivot and do something slightly different, what's that going to take? What's that investment? And you may be like our very first question asker, Claudia, in this episode, who's burnt out. Are you burnt out and you could really benefit mentally, emotionally from this time off? And all the while you're getting your income for a time period, you're getting a package. You need a plan, is all I'm saying. You need a plan for how you are going to earn more. You may realize from that retirement calculator that you don't need to be making banking as much as you were before. You could work part-time. You could do something that pays less. I won't be able to answer this definitively, but after doing some of your own research, maybe working with a professional, a planner, you'll have an answer that you'll feel more secure in. The other thing I would just add is companies that offer these voluntary leave packages are usually not doing very well, and there may be a layoff in the future. So if you think that maybe you're going to get laid off down the road, what's that going to look like? What's the potential severance there compared to what you could earn right now by voluntarily taking this package? Something to consider. A friend of mine, just anecdotally, was at a financial services company where they were routinely offering these early retirement packages, these lump sums. And she was about to turn 50 and wasn't in love with her job. But at her company, there was this like really huge financial bonus that you would get if you'd been with the company for X many years and you were there past 50. There was like some, you know, nest egg waiting for you from the company. And she was like, I want to get that nest egg. So she hung on, because whatever she could have made in that early retirement package, she did the math. It was not going to be as much as what she could have made if she stayed. And she did stay, and she did get it past 50, and then they laid her off. So a layoff may be inevitable for companies where they're offering this employment early leave package to certain employees. Just keep that in mind, that your job could be at risk. And what would you prefer? The certainty won't come until you do some research. And really, working with a professional in this case could have some great ROI for you. All right. Thanks for your question. And that is our show. If you want to learn more about investing, I'm teaching all my tricks, not really tricks, all my tried and true tactics, strategies, take you behind the scenes of how I invest on Monday, 3 p.m. live, Eastern live, 12 p.m. Pacific live. And we will record it, but the recording only goes out to those who register. Go to somoneyworkshop.com. Registration closes Sunday night. I hope your weekend is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.